You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.
Today on our show, we're talking with Katia Santibanez. Katia, thanks so much for being with me today.
Oh, thank you for inviting me. And
so tell me, what are you working on now in your studio? What are you involved with at the moment?
Well, right now, I'm actually in Massachusetts, where I live part-time, and I'm working on many things. I'm actually finishing a painting for a show, which actually will open September 10th in Houston at Texas Gallery. So that's one thing. And I'm also working on prints. I'm working on a linoleum block, and this is a project I'm doing more like in New York City and especially with May Shore in Tuxedo, New York. And I also have another project with a friend who actually went to Yale years ago, and she moved to Iowa, and her name is Catherine Knight. And we're doing a project doing a lithostone, and it's going to be published by ASA, and also it's print and also a poem. So that's what I'm working on, and it's almost finished. Today I approved the color, so one project is almost done. So that's when I've been working in the studio.
So let me ask you more about the print that you said earlier. Did you say you were working linoleum print in New York? Is that what you were doing, linoleum cuts, or did I misunderstand?
Yes, that's right, yes. Well,
I love that.
Yeah.
Tell me about that, because linoleum is such a wonderful medium. You don't often hear of printmakers using that. People are doing monoprints or woodcuts, but linoleum is, I don't know, I've always loved linoleum. Tell me a little bit about that, because that does seem unusual.
Yeah. I love this method. I mean, I love to make prints. I mean, this is something I've been doing since 2003. And linoleum, it's actually linoleum reduction. So it's a little tricky because I work from an image and I transfer it to the linoleum block. And the tricky part is that you have to think ahead and choose the colors also ahead, but also know where you're going to cut. Comparing to, for example, an etching print, you work on a piece of copper and you draw and then you put in the acid and then you print and you can work again and then you print and at the final step you can print the whole edition. With the linoleum cut, you have to print the whole edition step by step, but let's see, you're going to have an edition of 25 prints. So you have to put one color on the block and you print the 25 sheets of paper and then you cut and then you print the 25 sheets and then you cut again and then you print the 25 sheets. And then so on and so on.
But wait, you cut again, but in between, obviously, the cuts, you're re-inking the block and you're putting down a new color and in a sense, registering it over the old color. Is that correct?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
All those things have to work. The registering has to work. Everything has to come together.
Yes, but there's no way to go back. Like, when you make an etching, for example, you can always go back. You take a burnisher and you erase a line. you know, you can put it back in the acid, but with the linoleum block, you can't. So it's one shot, you know, it's like, okay. And I love the technique. I mean, it's really, really, I love all the techniques. I've been doing also the lithostone, which is very different also. But I think my favorite is the linoleum. And I work with this great master printmaker and Meshaw. And so this is, we're actually doing two. We're actually doing one on linoleum, and we're doing another one on Luon, the Luon block.
On Luon, so you're cutting into Luon. Luon's a type of plywood, isn't it?
That's right, yeah, yeah. So
is that a very large block? Or the thing about plywood is, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but is it almost like using the end grain of wood you can cut anyway, or like linoleum, or no?
Yeah, it's more fragile, though. So, you know, the tools, you have to use very sharp tools. You know, so it's a little different from the linoleum. And the piece right now I'm working, they're about like 14 by 11, something like that. I did a larger one last year, which was 20 by 16. And that was great to do. It was so exciting to do. And you see the steps also, which is very different from making an etching or.
So let's talk about that piece for a minute. I mean, just to focus on that 20 by 16 piece. What happened there? What was exciting about that?
It's just to see. First, when you work with the colors, you don't know what's going to happen, because it's one color on top of another color on top of another color. If you work with six colors, there's six colors on kind of like overlapping sometimes, because the first color
have to be, because the block is registering, everything goes on top of them, so it's a little bit of a mystery. You mean exactly what the translucence of all those layers will end up kind of being, right?
Yeah, sometimes they can be translucent and sometimes they can be more opaque. And usually, I mean, the way May works, she uses oil ink. And you can add some translucent paste. So the one we made, the 20 by 16, I chose the color were yellow and green and blues and purple at the end. And sometimes, you know, I mean, I go to Tuxedo and I bring the block with me and we work on a color and we have to make some tests. You know, she works on the color and I say, okay, this blue is great. And then when you put the blue on top of the yellow, well, the blue changes from what was on the palette. You know, so the color reacts a different way when you put it on top of another color, and sometimes you have to adjust the color because you don't like it. So it's very tricky, but it's exciting at the same time. And I remember, I think I used two different greens and two different blues, and sometimes we got the one blue in half an hour. And sometimes I remember one day we were working on one blue and it took us like 3 hours to get the right blue. I love this struggle
somehow I always think the surprise of printmaking is, because that almost reminds me of monoprints or printmaking in general, where, you know, the image reverses, it's a little different than you expected, and that's so different than painting, really. Painting, you know, even with mixing colors and layering colors, you don't have that same sense of surprise, right? It's much more direct.
Yeah, it's more direct, although I've been making paintings with using many more colors than the past. And so a few years ago, I used to, for one painting, I used maybe only 3 colors. And now I've been using 10, 15 different colors for one painting. And I've been experimenting with colors, and I've been really thinking about our perception also of colors. And when I prepare, when I decide of the colors I want to work with, then I prepare my little jars with different colors. And sometimes, it's actually, when I paint, sometimes I have the same issue as in the printmaking, because I use, the most recent painting I've been using, it's only blue, different blues. And I use the blue color, and in the jar, the blue was a little purple, but then when I put it on the painting, it looked like pink. I was like, wow, this is amazing. And because the color changes because it's next to another blue and like a more green. I've been experimenting also those two different way of seeing colors and playing with colors. So now it seems like printing and painting are just coming close to each other.
That's what I was going to say. It sounds like the printmaking is influencing the painting, perhaps, and vice versa. Or even though they are, as you say, they're very different ways of looking at color.
And it's great. When I started printmaking, and I didn't know what was going to happen. It's a little bit the same with the drawing. I mean, it's like a conversation. I always think, you know, the painting is conversing with the print and the drawings, and each one brings something to the other one, and it's fascinating.
And it
grows.
And I would think the printmaking processes, as you were saying, are also in a way talking to one another. Linoleum and Luan and lithograph, monoprint, these are all very different, also very different approaches to color, aren't they?
Yes. Yes. Because I've been working with this project with the litho stone, and I never done a litho stone print before. And actually, also, what was very difficult is when I work on a print, I work with the printmaker like in the same room. But with the litho stone print, I was in New York and he's in Iowa, so they sent me the stone to New York, and I had to work in my studio. And what I like also about printmaking is it's a collaboration with the printmaker. So the litho stone, I had to really learn by myself, and I had to go little by little, and you know, be very careful. And I mean, we had talks with the printmaker, but it was a different experience than just be working with the printmaker in the same room. It was very challenging, more challenging than anything else.
Right, I would think so, because when you're working with these printmakers, and you're talking about working with, you know, master printmakers, I imagine, it's that they know so much information about the process, right? That's almost impossible for just an artist to know. I mean, especially all the different processes that there are.
Yeah. And they know. I mean, I'm a painter. You know, I had education in painting and drawing, but not with printmaking. And that's what they do. The printmakers, they'll know what they're doing. And each one has like May, she works more with linoleum reduction or Luron, and she does all this. Sometimes she mixes collages and things like that. And Asa is, you know, he's specialized in lithostone. So they really know what they're doing. I mean, they're masters. Yeah. And they know so much. Yeah. And sometimes we get into a problem, like to solve the problem. And they're like, oh, here, we can do this and we can do that. Oh, great. It's really a collaboration. It's really deep and profound it's great.
It is. I really understand that, and I think so many artists, you know, that are listening understand that. You know, printmaking itself and that dialogue even with a master printer and resolving things is such a rich process. Do you think that's understood by the collecting public, by the admirers of your work, the kind of magic, I mean, in prints as we're talking about it?
Well, there's some collectors who will collect only works on paper, and they will maybe tend to buy prints also. But
I guess people don't really know. I mean, it's not that they should know, but it's really a very intimate process, isn't it? You know, that has so many quirks. It's hard to even explain, because I think prints to many people mean something that's not the original, right?
Yeah,
I know a very naive
right.
way of looking at it, but still, I have no idea of the richness of kind of the mediums you're talking about and moving through them. That's really what I mean. That's sort of printmaking, the appreciation of printmaking, I guess, is what I'm trying to move towards.
It's different also, because also the image, you know, if we have 25 prints, well, like 25 collectors will have the same image. When a painting is unique and a drawing is also unique. Some really understand the process and, but most of my collectors or the people who collect my work, I think the one who buy the prints oftentimes they don't buy a painting or they don't.
Right, they'll buy a print. I mean, a print is also smaller and easier to manage and store in some ways. But I always love printmaking myself. It's a beautiful medium to collect. You were talking about a book also that you're making now.
My friend Catherine, she used to live in Massachusetts, and she moved to Iowa, where her parents are living. When she moved out to Iowa, we started to write letters to each other, like real letters. Sometimes I say that to people, and they're like, what do you mean, like real letters? I said, yeah, not email, but real letters. I love
handwritten with a pen in your hand on real
that's
paper.
That's right, yeah. It's
amazing.
I mean, people used to do that because, you know, I mean, they didn't have computers, so they wrote letters to each other. And I write to my father because he doesn't have email, and I love to receive a letter in the mail, and I collect stamps also, so I love to keep the stamps, and I love the ritual about opening the letter. It's much nice, and see the handwriting also.
I do too, I love that. This is an odd thing to say, but I just went on vacation with my family to Niagara Falls. Whenever I go on vacation, I send postcards home to myself and my family. I love receiving cards. I like writing, you know.
It's so great.
So go on. So you're writing letters to her back and forth. That was the beginning of a friendship?
Yeah. I mean, we started that, and she moved maybe 3 years ago now. So we started to do that, and every time, you know, I went to Rome for 2 months. She sent me letters to Rome. We spent 4 months in the south of France years ago, and she sent me letters there, and I sent her letters to the States. You know, like I was invited at the Albers Foundation near Yale for 2 months. Was 2 years ago, and there I could go through the boxes of Joseph Albers and Annie Albers and look at the letters that they send to each other or to other people, and it really meant something to me. So so she moved to Iowa, and we keep writing to each other. And then she, because she loves poetry, and I do too, and she loves printmaking, she decided to do this project of having an artist make a print on a litho stone and have a poet write a poem and then put the two together. So it's like a broadside. If the artist, both of the artists want that, but it's not. So I have a litho stone print, and then Nate King wrote a poem. So this is a project, it's an ongoing project that she wants to do.
And how will it, what will its final form be? Will it be bound or loose leaves in a folio? How will that be produced?
Well, this is a project, and actually I'm the first one to have starting the project. I think at this moment she doesn't know yet, because she's trying to get some money, and it's a very ambitious project. I think in a portfolio will be great.
It is. It sounds like a beautiful project. I mean, you know, certainly there are, I mean, books like that by Matisse and Picasso, the kind of deluxe artist book, in a sense, that is a, in a way, it's about printmaking too. It's a,
yes,
a passion,
yeah,
of its own.
Yeah. And it's very interesting, because the poet, Nate, who, I mean, I have the print, one of the proofs in front of me, and he actually wrote on one proof, he wrote the poem by hand. And that was the idea of Catherine, is like the poet will write with his handwriting. And then when I saw the proof, I loved the poem, but I was not, you know, really pleased with the handwriting. And then I called my friend Catherine and I say, but, you know, like it seems like his handwriting is, I mean, there was, he was maybe nervous, or there was, The handwriting was not feeling right. And then she said, well, he actually never wrote a poem with his hand. He writes his poetry on the computer. And I was like, oh, okay, well, that makes sense, because the handwriting doesn't feel right, you know. And then now I see the poem with a font, and it looks great. So sending letters.
That's exciting.
It's very exciting. It's really great. It's more driven, you know, like.
It really is an artist project. That's you know, also kind of having a dialogue with itself. It seems, as it grows.
Yes.
Katya, thanks so much for talking with me today. I look forward to hearing hopefully more about that project and your shows in the future.
Oh, thank you for inviting me.
You're listening to Yale Radio WIBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the Art World Demystified.